This is The Headline with Brandon Waltons, bringing you the biggest stories from across Texas. The Headline gives you the news you need to be an informed citizen.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor of Texas Scorecard. We're going to take a look at a couple big stories from across the state that were featured at TexasScorecard.com this week. The first story, if you haven't seen this, it's absolutely wild. Deidre Hairston in Dallas was kicked out of a mass. This is a pregnant mother for daring to not wear a mask. Like, she had the police come and threaten her with arrest for trespassing. Check out the clip. Absolutely wild stuff.
Please back up.
Ma'am, I'm going to put you in handcuffs if you don't stand up.
What's this?
Am I getting arrested?
No, not right now. But if you don't listen, you will be.
And what would be the reason for that?
For criminal trespass. They don't want y'all here.
What's the crime?
The business, the church, does not want y'all here because you're choosing not to follow the rules.
It's not a law.
Please
leave now.
It's not a law. I'm not breaking a law.
Yes, it is.
I'm not breaking a crime.
Please.
It's a business.
Let's just go. Come on. Come on. Let's
it's
go.
A business. Okay. They already, do not want you.
This is already. It's already out of hand. Let's just go. It's not worth it.
I'm not leaving.
It's not worth it. We've already. And I want the ticket, but they're not to come back.
That's you okay. Have ID on you?
No, I'm at church.
You have a picture of ID, any ID?
Yeah, we got it.
Oh, wait,
what's your last name?
Hairston.
Spell it.
Actually, he asked for it.
That's fine.
We're not, by the way.
I'm in church praying.
I don't understand.
You don't understand.
Sorry,
the business called. I'm not just here on my own free will. The business called because they asked y'all to wear your mask, and you're not wearing it.
It's not required.
It is by the church.
It's
it is
not.
Yes, it is.
The bishop has not required it.
He has.
That one man. It's I. You are not allowed.
He's a representative of the business, and he doesn't want you.
This isn't a business. It's a church.
No, it's the same thing.
It's not
owned by somebody. Yes, that's how it works. Somebody owns this.
Yeah. So it's the diocese that owns it, and
it's not a law by the diocese.
Real quick.
Yeah. Go ahead. That somebody isn't requiring it, right? Is that what you're saying?
There are three police officers.
There's no law that is within the church, which is that building right there. This got out of hand, and it wasn't on our end, but it got out of hand. I appreciate y'all coming.
Yeah, no problem. And we're only here because they called. And
yeah, but it's just she's sitting in the back of the church, socially distancing.
I would talk to whoever sent that text because as of right now, if you don't return back to the church, you will be arrested. So you're criminally trespassed. So if you come back to the church and they call us, and they have a little card that we give them, and if you're here on property, you'll be arrested. So that's how the criminal trespass works. So maybe talk to whoever that is, have them remove it, and y'all move forward from there, okay? Did y'all get your IDs back? Did my partner get them back?
Yeah, we got mine.
Okay, then y'all are free to go.
My LTC. We're good. We're the good guys.
Yeah, I believe you guys. I'm only here because the business called, okay? I mean, no skin off my back, All right. So if y'all have your stuff, you're free to go.
Well, we just saw those shocking video clips. Right now we're being joined by Deirdre herself. Deirdre, thank you so much for joining us on The Headline here with Texas Scorecard. And just lay it out for people. What exactly happened on that day?
Yes. So I was attending Mass at Holy Trinity Catholic Church here in Dallas on Oak Lawn with my husband and my one-year-old daughter. And I am actually newly pregnant, so I was feeling lightheaded and nauseous, so I removed the mask. I was very much socially distanced. I was sitting in the far back right of the church. The next thing I know, the pastor's telling me he's going to call the police, in which he does so, and I luckily was able to go receive Holy Communion before they had gotten there. And upon my return back, there were three police officers swarming my chair, and I go to kneel. I'm holding my one-year-old daughter. I have the Eucharist on my tongue. And one of the police officers grabs my arm. As you see in the video, she says, if I don't leave with her right now, I will be put in handcuffs and arrested. So of course we comply immediately, leave with her. And the usher actually takes it upon himself to follow us out. And he is yelling, you know, ticket her. She's never allowed back here again. He even takes a picture of my license plate. And just to see almost how, I would even say, gleeful that the pastor and the ushers were about seeing this occur, it was very upsetting and shocking.
So was this the first time? I mean, how long has the church required masks? Has that been essentially since the beginning of reopenings last year?
So actually our bishop, Bishop Edward Burns, has never required the masks. He has specifically used the word, thank God this isn't live. This is the first time I've paused. Hold on. Our Bishop Edward Burns has specifically used the word expected. He has never once said masks are required and or not required. And obviously the word expected is a very vague term. But I think this kind of brings back culturally when we have, you know, when we have a state that has been shut down for over a year, that is going to infiltrate into our culture. And you can see that happening here with the lack of clarity, whether they're required or not.
Is this the first time that you had gone out and dared to take off the mask, to lower the mask in public and specifically in church?
Well, I've actually been to this mass before and not worn a mask, and it was not an issue. So I was very confused as to why not only was it an issue clearly this particular Sunday, but it got to that point.
When the police officers took you out of the building, what sort of discussion did you have with them at that time?
Yes, the police officers kept saying, I was asking, did I commit a crime? You know, and she was saying, well, you are essentially criminally trespassing because this is a business. This is a business. And the business does not want you here. To which I responded, I said, look, this isn't a business. This isn't McDonald's. You know, this is a sanctuary. This is a place of worship. And I've never heard of anyone attending mass and be considered trespassing.
Have you heard from any of your fellow parishioners since this incident happened? This happened a couple weeks ago?
Yes, on March 14th.
Have you heard from any of your fellow parishioners on what they thought about this incident?
Well, in the moment as it was happening, not one single person in the church flinched. No one, of course, came to my aid. But on top of that, even just out of pure nosiness, hardly anyone even turned to look to see what was going on. And that surprises me because I would think, you know, here's a mother kneeling, mm-hmm. having just received communion, holding her daughter, and there's three police officers, you know, grabbing her arm, trying to get her arrested, and not one person said anything.
This has been something that we've seen not only with the mask mandates, but also when you look back last year. I mean, you've seen churches that complied with shutdown orders that had to hold, baptisms and weddings in secret. Is this a bigger part of a cultural problem with the church that you're seeing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that this is a huge problem because I think it's shows a lack of leadership from our state officials, from our church leaders. I think our Bishop Edward Burns has really showed a lack of courage in this situation. He actually came out with a statement after this incident occurred, and he doubled down on what happened. And he said, you know, he said in terms of charity, you know, we are expected to wear a mask, expected. Again, did not clarify even after the incident whether they're required or not. But he, you know, pushes the word charity. And I think, well, you know, what about the charity? That's a one-way street. Where was charity shown to me in that situation in terms of, you know, being pregnant and feeling nauseous? And again, I was socially distanced. I was not a health threat to anyone. That was very evident. I think that also shows that this is more than about health. This is a political statement. The mask have become a political statement. And when the pastor saw that I wasn't going to immediately obey and succumb to his demands, that's where he was getting upset, because it's all about control and it's about complying, and it's wrong. It's tyrannical and it needs to stop.
Have you been back to that mass since this incident occurred?
I was told by the police officer that I am not allowed back on the property. Wow. And that if I do step foot back on the property, that I will be arrested for trespassing. So no, not unless I want to get arrested.
Well, I mean, that's just, it's just absolutely wild to think about. I mean, what message do you have, I guess, for two different groups of people? What message, first of all, do you have for leaders of the church, and not just even your church, but just the church in general, that we've seen, you know, really failing in many ways to lead during this time?
It's very disappointing, you know, how I've seen the church handle the situation. And I think what good has come out of it, as good comes out of a lot of bad situations, is a lot of the responses that I've received since the incident. We have a lot, I think this is going on around the country a lot more than people realize in some way, shape, or form. I think this has given a voice to a lot of people who feel very frustrated by these, you know, similar situations and mask mandates, and whether it's required or not. And even if you are in a church that the masks are not required, you still get treated like a leper. You still get treated, you know, with dirty eyes. It's a very unchristian like behavior. And I feel like I'm more likely to get treated with Christian charity and grace at a coffee shop than I am church these days. And that's very disappointing and unacceptable.
Lastly, what do you have to say, or do you have anything to say to the state leaders, state elected officials, state lawmakers right now? There's obviously the state capitol, state legislature's meeting. They're considering different little bills dealing with religious freedom and keeping churches open during this. But do you have a message for state lawmakers right now?
Yes, I'm very disappointed, honestly, that Abbott even shut down the state to begin with. I really believe in freedom over government. I think that people overall, individually, are going to make wise decisions and choices for themselves regarding their life, their health, their safety. And so for the government to have even stepped in at all on this issue, I think was wrong. And I think whenever government's involved, things get worse. And I think that's what happened here. And I think had the governor never set the mandate and the lockdown to begin with, this would not have happened.
What would you encourage fellow Texans to do if they want to continue to fight back against this right now?
You know, I think people do need to fight back. They need to stand up. They need to be courageous, and they need to call and write, you know, state officials, church leaders, and say, we're not going to accept these rules, demands, commands, this tyranny.
Excellent answer. Thank you so much, Deirdre, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we want to thank Deirdre again for joining us today on The Headline. Shifting focus a little bit, we've got our Capitol correspondent, Jeremy Kitchen, who went down to the Capitol earlier this week for an abolition of abortion rally. Abolishing abortion, it's one of the priorities of the Republican Party of Texas. You got a group of folks down there urging lawmakers, saying now is the session, they need to get it done. Jeremy spoke with some of the people in attendance. Check it out.
All right. Jeremy Kitchen here, Capitol correspondent for Texas Scorecard. I am joined today by Pastor Kendricks. If you don't mind just kind of introducing yourself to our folks and let them know kind of your motivation for being here today.
Yeah, my name is Bruce Kendrick. I'm the Director of Life Initiatives at Watermark Community Church in Dallas. And we're really here just to ensure that the value of protection or equal protection for the preborn and the dignity of women are honored and respected, and that the role of the church is let out in making sure that we're a voice for those who don't have a voice for themselves.
Sure. The rally that we're here for today will start here, I guess, in a few minutes. Yep. Your speaker, of course, at the rally, it's my understanding. What will happen afterwards? Do y'all have an intent to go inside the building and talk to legislators?
Or? Yeah, so we'll be going in kind of office by office, just sharing some of the priority that we have for equal protection, recognizing that things like the heartbeat bill and some of those other bills that have been thrown out there, you know, maybe efforts towards abolishing abortion or towards reducing incrementally kind of wearing away at Roe v. Wade. However, they just lack a righteousness and I think a a formality that is necessary in order to make sure that women are cared for, they have dignity, and that the preborn have equal protection under the law.
My understanding of the bill, of course, Representative Slayton will be speaking here shortly. My understanding is it's ultimately to ignore Roe, right? And can you speak to that a little bit, as kind of what your understanding is of that? And you had mentioned kind of the previous, or the other pro-life bills. I know the Senate is today will be adopting at least some of them on third reading. Speak to that a little bit more, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think one of the concerns that our legislature maybe rightly has is they don't feel like they have the power or the ability to fight back against the federal government. And our response is Texas has made kind of a living out of fighting against the federal government. Specifically at the state affairs hearing, we heard individuals say something to the effect of, we just don't feel like we could challenge them, and yet we just sent thousands of troops down to the border to effectively say we don't agree with what the federal government is doing. And so if we're willing to do that for illegal immigration, shouldn't we be willing to do that for the preborn that are dying 56,000 a year here in the state?
Sure. Okay, well, Pastor Kendricks, we appreciate your time.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Joined by JR and your son, Jeffrey. Appreciate you joining us. If you don't mind, obviously you participated in the rally that just concluded here to abolish abortion. You kind of talk about what it is you were hoping to accomplish today via the rally.
So we just recently had HB 3326 filed by Representative Brian Slayton. It was just recently assigned to committee. Next step is to rally, voters, to let their legislators know that we want, more co-authors signing on to Brian Slayton's bill. We're also going to be asking our supporters that are supporting the Abolish Abortion in Texas Act to ask for Stephanie Click, the chairman of the Public Health Committee.
This is the committee the bill was referred
this
to.
This is the House. Yeah, it's we're asking her to bring it up for a public hearing so she can hear from some of these voters.
Okay, and so I assume what you're talking about is there was some direction given to the crowd that was here that you're going to go inside the legislature and you're going to kind of go forth and do good things and talk to individual legislators. What is the message you want to drive home to those legislators?
That all men are created equal. I think most of us believe that, and we want Texas law to actually act like that
and reflect that.
Okay. And reflect that. Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. I appreciate you joining us today. All right. I'm joined by Wes Thomas. Of course, you were here. You took part in the rally that just concluded. Do you mind, just for our viewers' sake, kind of giving an overview on how you thought the rally went today and what it was y'all were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it went really well. We had, by my count, a little over 400 or so people come out on a Tuesday. Yeah. And the weather was a little muggy. So I thought it was a very good turnout. You know, what we're here to do at Abolish Abortion Texas is to involve Christians in the work of advocating for their preborn neighbors, to advocate against abortion. And that's what we're here to do, was to rally for HB 3326, the Abolition of Abortion and Equal Protection for All Humans Act.
This is the bill, of course, that's authored by Representative Brian Slayton.
That's correct.
He was a speaker today.
He was a speaker.
I believe there were some directions given at the end of the rally. Obviously, all the folks that participated, the hope is, of course, you're going to go inside the Capitol.
Yeah.
And they're going to lobby legislators.
That's right. So
what is the message you want to drive?
So in addition to, to basically having a focal point for everybody to say, this is what we're here for, we want people to not just rally about something. We want actually to follow through, go talk to their legislators. You know, a lot of people think that their legislators are doing one thing, and then when they talk to their legislators, they hear about how pro-life they are. But when they see bills which attempt to end abortion that their legislators aren't signing on to, they're confused by that. And that has been my experience with the people that I meet at the Republican Party meetings that I go to out across the state, is people think that pro-life means one thing, but their legislators are doing something completely different. So we're telling them, go in there and advocate for what you want, and let's see how our legislators respond to that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you joining me today. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Let us know if you need anything.
All right.
I'm here with Mrs. Jill Robbins today. Of course, you were a speaker at the Abolish Abortion rally that just concluded. Do you mind kind of giving our viewers kind of a summary on what it was you hoped to accomplish today?
My hope was to encourage our legislators and senators to understand the consequences to millions of women in this country who were given the lawful permission to take the life of their child when they had an unplanned pregnancy.
Okay, and there were several speakers today, obviously just kind of getting the crowd riled up. There's some directions. Y'all, my understanding is you're going to go into the Capitol after this. Obviously, there's a few events there, but you'll also be talking to legislators. What is it that you hope they take away from your conversation with them today?
I want them to know that And they do know this, that the one of our legislative priorities was to abolish abortion for the second time now. And they continue to ignore that, ignore the will of the people that they are supposed to be representing. And so once again, we're going to visit with them and to remind them of that and tell them that that's what we want. We don't want compromise anymore. It's gone on for 48 years, and it's devastating our country, our state. It's devastating the women in our country and state, and our children, our posterity.
Sure. Well, Mrs. Robbins, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much. Thank you for your words today at the rally, and good luck inside.
Well, Jeremy also sat down with the author of the measure in the House, actually the author of two bills that would abolish abortion. That would be State Representative Brian Slayton. Take a look.
Okay, howdy again. Jeremy Kitchen here, Capital Correspondent at Texas Scorecard. I'm joined by State Representative Brian Slayton, of course, the author of two bills that we spoke about today here at the Abolish Abortion Texas rally. You mind, I guess, telling our viewers kind of a little bit about both those bills and kind of your motivation for filing those?
Sure. Well, I filed the only abolish abortion bill, the only bill in the state of Texas that would actually stop abortions in this year, 2021. And what the bill does, it just gives children in the womb from conception until through birth, they have equal protection under the law. That's the focus of the bill, is just treat them as any other human being here in Texas.
And then you had another bill which ultimately just ignores Roe v. Wade or the decisions. Is that correct? Do you mind speaking about that?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, that bill just simply says we're not going to continue to live by this ruling that we feel like many feels like is wrong. Supreme Court has had it wrong before in designating who are people and who aren't, and they've got it wrong again, and it allows us to say, you know, we want to be ruled by laws passed through legislature, you know, not by a ruling from a Supreme Court.
Now, the abolition bill you spoke about earlier, a similar bill has been filed previously, most notably, I guess, in the last two sessions by Representative Tony Tinderholt. Both times it kind of got stuck up in the committee process, if you will. Well, it did get a hearing last session. It's been referred to a different committee this go around. It's the House Public Health Committee, chaired by Representative Stephanie Click. Can you speak a little bit about, as you're having conversations with other members, what is that like? Are they giving you a good reception?
Well, the frustrating thing is this is a GOP party platform item. This is an issue that all Republicans campaign on. And the idea of equal protection under the law, this, you know, the GOP legislative priority says that. But unfortunately, as I talk to members, they like to take up the Democrats' talking point against the bill. Remember, the bill is about giving equal protection under the law to children in the womb, and they want to bring up the issues that the Democrats bring up, which isn't the purpose of the bill. The intent of the bill is to protect babies in the womb.
I believe it was a package of seven pro-life bills. The House, to my knowledge, hasn't moved on anything yet. Do you think there's reasons for that? Obviously, there's still time left. As you mentioned, it's a priority, a legislative party, again, not for the first time, of Republican Party of Texas, their Legislative Priorities Committee. What are your thoughts on that? Is there anything to read there? I mean, do we still have time?
We have time. If we want to do it, we can. We control everything. And nothing happens by mistake here in the Capitol. Everything happens by a plan. So who knows what that they've orchestrated. Maybe the Senate's pushing and maybe they're going to be the ones to, quote, lead on this. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard. I just know I'm hoping to get a hearing on abolish abortion. Let's just get a vote.
Sure.
Let's let people show the voters where they actually believe on protecting life in the womb and creating a law in Texas where there's equal protection under the law, which is the 14th Amendment.
Well, good luck to you the rest of the session.
Well, thank you.
Representative Slayton, I appreciate you joining us today.
I appreciate it.
Thank you again, Representative Slayton, the author of the abolition bill, if you will, and another one that would essentially ignore the Roe v. Wade decision. So thanks again, Representative Slayton.
Well, thank you again for joining us this Friday on the headline, Texas Scorecard. I'm Brandon Waltons. Be sure to check out texasscorecard.com, where we're going to be following all the big stories across the state. We've also got our Texas directory up there, so you can find out how to contact your lawmakers, as well as our priority tracker, follow the party priorities and see how they're moving through the process with just less than 60 days left, I think, now in the process, in the legislative session. Where are those priorities? You can figure that out, find that out at texasscorecard.com. But for now, have a blessed Easter weekend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to The Headline from Texas Scorecard. We're live every Friday at 11 a.m. on the Texas Scorecard Facebook page to talk about the biggest stories of the week, so check us out there or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer. And while you're there, you can also check out the ever-growing line of podcasts and programming provided by Texas Scorecard.